Grace to you and peace. God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The epistle, the second lesson. We worked this thing over Wednesday afternoon with the afternoon group. And I don't know if we came to any absolute conclusions, but what we concluded is that some of it's hard to understand, which in some cases things are. So, to begin with, he does this thing. He says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake and in my flesh, filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body." That's the one that kind of caught us and does me. It sounds like what Paul's saying is that I've got something more to offer than what Jesus did, which I don't think is what he had in mind. I think what he's saying is that, yes, I'm suffering, and I'm suffering because of the church. I'm suffering so that the church may prosper. I'm suffering so that the church may survive. I'm not making it better because of what Jesus did. I'm not undoing what he did or doing more or doing a better job than what he did it. I'm just trying to keep the thing together. Paul was in prison in Rome. I don't know what it was like. I guess he was just kind of tethered in one place. I don't think it's like going to Attica or something like that. I don't think it was that. But he couldn't go where he wanted to. And he didn't know these people. They were unknown to him, and they didn't know him. So he sends them this letter by Epaphras, who's one of the ones who helped found this congregation in the first place and shared with them their initial understanding of the gospel. And so Paul's sending them a letter to try to keep them straight on what's going on, to try to be present with them even though he wasn't, try to remind them of what's going on and what it is they should be experiencing and what it is they should understand. And he talks about the gospel. So what is it that the gospel means? I think that word gives some people one idea and some people another. They used to use it as an idea that it's the truth. You know, the lawyers, it's the gospel truth. Well, it's the truth, I guess. I'm not just sure what they had in mind, but they seem to say that, well, if it's the gospel, it's true. If it's God, it's true. So if my client says this is the truth, then this is the truth. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know whether you remember or whether you participated in the Kennedy Plan of Evangelism at one time. That was popular back in the early 70s. I don't know whether it ever came here or not. But Kennedy was a, I don't know whether he was a Presbyterian or whatever. He was one of the denominations and a relatively young guy going to his first parish. And I think they had maybe 60 or 70 that he could call as regular members. And in the first year, it grew from 70 to 50. The second year, it grew from 50 to 40. And he figured if he continued with this level of growth very long, there wouldn't be anything. So he tried to figure out a way to bring the idea to people that they could understand and grip onto and that would strengthen his congregation. And he came up with what was called Kennedy's Plan of Evangelism. And it was relatively popular in the 70s. In the center of it was his definition of the gospel. He divided it into five parts: grace, man, God, Christ, and faith. Grace, heaven's a free gift. You don't have to pay for it, you can't buy it. It's free, it's yours, not at any cost to you. Man's sinful. Man cannot save himself. Man can do nothing that's acceptable to God by himself. He depends totally on God. Christ, the way in which man gets forgiven, the sacrifice of the cross, the man God who comes to make it possible for people to be one with God, acceptable to God, and made God's people. Faith, the ability to understand it, the ability to grab onto it, to make it part of what you are and to make it function for you. And the last, grace, man, God, Christ, faith. Those things put together, he found, were something that people could understand and could relate to the church as it was trying to do its job. So Paul's talking about the gospel, the idea of grace, the forgiveness of our sins. The free forgiveness of our sins and the free chance to have eternal life given by God, not because of anything we do. Grace. Christ, the one who makes it possible. So he's saying, remember the gospel. And I think he's probably tried in his writings to refer this to these people so they understood what it was. Because again, he's not there. He's never been there. They don't know him. He's never had the opportunity to talk with them. The only way he's communicated is by what he writes and sends these people to give them. And so he sent them this to remind them that they're in the business of the gospel, that the good news is theirs to spread, the good news is theirs to understand. And then he does this thing about, I have these sufferings, and I do these things to fill up what Jesus did, like there's something left. I don't think that's what he understood. I don't think that's what he intended, but it's what it sounds like. And the best that we could understand and the best that I've been able to dig up is that it's not a replacement of what Jesus did, but in following from, understanding that this is what he did and this is why he did it. And these things are done in order to remember what he did and to make them more understandable and to make them more useful to us. And he understands he's going to have to suffer. He has some before. He knows he's going to suffer more again. None of them except one, I think, ever survived. The old apostles' retirement system wasn't much. Most of them didn't live to collect. And he knew he was going to go too. He just didn't know how or when. So he didn't say that, I'm scared. I don't want to do this. He says, I know this is coming. I know I'm suffering, and I'm suffering with an open mind because I know I'm doing it because that's what God wants me to do, and that's what Jesus provides me with the faith to try to get through. So this is what he gives to these people to hold themselves together despite what the world is trying to tear them apart with. And as they're a young congregation, maybe without the strongest leadership in the world, there are people that are going to come and try to run lies by them, try to divide them, try to destroy them. And he's making sure that they know what it is that he wants them to understand. The gospel, the good news, the price that Jesus paid for them, that he has given them and paid them, and the hope that they have because of this. So he hopes that he's made his case, and that they understand what it is he wants them to know. And he says, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mystery, that's something that you don't hear much about in the New Testament. You hear something about in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament prophets and the people there did understand that there were mysterious things that went on, in some cases that they couldn't understand and they didn't see coming. But he says, this is the mystery we deal with. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The belief, the faith you have, the trust you have in God, that which holds you together, makes it possible for you to understand that your sins are forgiven and that you've got hope, and that what's in this life is not all there is. So the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Warning everyone with wisdom, present everyone mature in Christ. He says, and this I struggle for. And to some extent, we all do too. In these days, the attack is not the way it was then. We don't have the Roman-type government trying to attack us. Though, hey, there's no guarantee that any day that might not happen. I won't say that the church will not go through some sort of harassment from the government, given time. It's possible. So if it happens and we see it, we know who's got to take care of us, Christ, God. This is the mystery, that you are Christ in you. You're the one who's the example to somebody else because of what you believe. Go in peace. Be sustained by the fact that God has provided you with this sacrifice of his son, put him on the cross, and given him the message of reconciliation for us. In him we pray. Amen.